We're in the I'm in the Pioneer home, and I'm in Floyd Aiken's room. That sounds a little bit scandalous, doesn't it, Floyd? Good.
Well, that's anyway. What old people told me.
Anyway, this is August 12, 1974, and I'm Floyd Aiken is an unusual man in Fairbanks. He's a gardener, and I wanted to talk to him today about some of his gardening and just recollections, Floyd. Nothing formal. I just want to get some of your recollections and how you got started and some of the prizes you won and where you won the prizes, that type of thing. And also, you were up in the Arctic in the early 40s, and or the, let's see, late 40s, I guess. 48 was when you went up there?
48,
Yeah, I'd like to ask you a few questions on that, too. But first, I'd like to talk about gardening. And just to get started, would you tell me what this beautiful plant here in your room, this tall one here, is that a philodendron?
That's a papaya tree.
A papaya tree? That shows you how ignorant I am. Where did you bring that from, Hawaii?
I grew it from the seeds here at the Pioneer home.
Oh, you did?
Yes. Oh, I have two of them in the home now.
Does it, is it a small seed?
Yes. Papaya, there's hundreds of seeds in each papaya about the size of a BB shot.
Is that right? How old is this one?
About a year.
Is that right? Gee, that's a good healthy tree.
But I've seen them in Hawaii that were ripening fruit at a year.
At a year?
Yes, 1 year old
and
ripening
would
fruit.
They'd be bigger than this.
Oh, yes.
This is what, maybe 2.5 feet tall?
Almost something like that. But I have one down the hallway that's, perhaps 4 feet.
Is that right? Well, is the papaya, is it a tree that lives for a long, long time and produces fruit continually, or?
Yes, they produce fruit continuously in the tropics. I don't know the life of a papaya tree, how long it would last.
But it's not a plant that grows for 5 years and then exhausts itself.
No, I wouldn't think so.
Well, the one you have down the hallway here, has it given any indications of fruit? Or?
No.
Probably wouldn't in this.
I've seen them 6 months from seed that would have maybe 25 or 30 little papayas as big as my thumb, mm-hmm. and within a year they would be ripe.
Mm-hmm. But they are a tropical plant, so.
Yes, they are, but they're grown in Florida and I understand in parts of Texas too.
Well, what's that small plant in the window? It looks like a citrus.
That is a miniature orange. Orange.
Did you start that from?
No, I bought the tree.
Mm-hmm. I've got a tree at home. It's a lemon tree someone gave me, but I've had it now for about 13 years, and mm-hmm. all of a sudden it lost most of its leaves. I guess I did something wrong with it.
Well, I've had them do that in the past myself.
And then the leaves come back. I noticed on mine that it sometimes in the past it would lose leaves, and then suddenly I get a new crop of leaves.
Well, that might happen, too.
I hope that happens.
Well, they claim that one reason for that is a change in temperature when they lose their leaves.
Mm-hmm. Well, I did something with it this last year that I never did before. I took it down, our house is, our living room and kitchen, everything's on the top level. It's built into the hill. As you know, you
yes.
have to work on it. And then the bedroom level is lower, built into the hill. And what I did was take it downstairs. I thought, well, I'll just experiment, because I'm not much of a plant grower. And that's what did it, I'm sure. I left it down there for about 6 weeks. It had plenty of water. I mean, not too much water. But then when I brought it back up, it got a real healthy branch on it with some beautiful big leaves on it.
Well, I'll have to tell you about that one. I had three, a lime, a lemon, and this orange you see there now. Well, they all lost their leaves, and apparently we're all three dead. Well, I threw out the lime and the lemon and the orange and just set it outside, forgot all about it.
Was that here on your home?
Right here, the home. Set it outside and just forgot all about it there. And I passing by one day and I noticed new growth on it.
Was that the spring?
It was just by, just very recently.
Yeah.
It was just bone dry. I hadn't even watered it. Just sitting out there bone dry and then started growing again. All the growth you see there has come on there since I discarded it once.
Now, is that growth there just within the last 3 or 4 weeks?
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm. I'll be darned. Well, that was a lucky plant. Have you planted house plants to citrus? I had some grapefruit here recently, and I just planted the seeds. I'll be darned if they didn't come up. I came back from a trip my husband and I just took down the Yukon and came back. We were gone for about 3 weeks, and I was kept thinking all along, I hope my daughter's watering my grapefruit seeds. And I came back, and I have little grapefruit trees about that high.
Yes, well, I have some here that in the dining room that I just, from oranges or tangerines or something I had at the table.
And
just walked over and stuck the seed in the flower pot.
Is that right?
And they're growing in the flower pots back there now.
Is that right?
I don't know what they are, oranges or what. Some fruit that I had at the table.
When we get through talking here, maybe you'll show them to me. I'd be interested to see that.
And I have 2 grapefruit trees, 1.5 feet, 18 inches high maybe, growing out there in one window.
In the windows, yeah.
Yes. Just started from seed and flower pots.
Well, you've been at the Pioneer Home now, what, 2 years?
Just 16 months.
16 months.
I came in here on April the 6th of 73, and that just so happened that was my 69th birthday.
Is that right? So this year you're 70?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. 70 now.
Well, I've noticed since you've been here, Floyd, that there have been some beautiful plants in the Pioneer Home. There were plants before, but it seems to me, maybe I'm wrong, correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems to me that they were just plants that had been donated and they were kind of surviving. But now I walk up and down in the recreation rooms, and particularly down here by the dining room, there's some gorgeous big plants. You know, there's somebody with a green thumb around here.
Well, as far as a green thumb, that's an expression I've never liked. It don't mean anything. It's a dirty thumb.
Mm-hmm. Dirty thumb.
Dirty thumb. As I told one reporter once that asked me that question, I said gardening was 99% effort and 1% common sense. If you're interested in it, you will get the knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not interested, why, that green thumb is a good excuse for not doing it, and
yeah,
you better stay out of the garden.
Good observation, because anyone who's interested in it can do it, and he can read about it, or he can talk to someone like you who's an experienced gardener and get pointers.
My knowledge of gardening, I've got it every bit the hard way, by trial and error.
When did you start gardening?
Well, I've been interested in it all my life, but I never worked at it much. But I started over there on Woodlawn Street at my home, about 55, to landscape a little there. And then I had 2 vacant lots there that were used for nothing, only the neighbors dumped their garbage and their rubbish on, and I had to fence that off to stop it. And to make it look clean, I got to plowing those lots up every year and sow clover or something there.
Just, I see. Make it look good.
Make it look clean.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted a clean neighborhood. And I just gradually got started growing a few plants out there, and I kept branching out from it and trying.
Did you have any failures?
Oh, many a one. I didn't know anything about gardening in Alaska, and I don't care where you garden. It's different in different localities, in different climates. You've got to learn what will thrive and what won't. And there's only one way I know to learn it, and that's try. And
I've seen some pictures. I used to go by your place over there. It really was beautiful. You had a vegetable garden, too.
Vegetables and flowers, both.
But the flowers are really the ones that people noticed. So
yes.
It was a spot for people to drive by and look at. I'm sorry that there's some apartment houses there instead of the beautiful yard.
Well, when the bulldozer went in there, a fella said, "Well, Lloyd," he says, "there's another old Fairbanks landmark gone."
Yeah.
But I only sold that place because of my health. I couldn't take care of it the way I wanted it to look. And
you sold your house when, in 69?
September 69.
Who bought your place?
Jim Hendry.
Oh, is that where he lives?
No.
Is that Joni Henry's father?
Yes,
yeah.
That's Joni's father. No, they live at 943 Lathrop. My address was 904 Woodlawn, but
that's right backing on Lathrop.
I backed up on Lathrop. When I built there, Weeks Field was still operating, and they called, and that was the what is now Lathrop was called Boundary because it was the city limits at that time.
Right.
And ended at 10th Street. And it was nothing more than just a trail through the brush there at the time.
And then the Weeks Field, that was the runway there where the school is.
Yes, right about where the school is.
Right.
I've taken off from there many a time to go to Point Barrel.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I never took off from there. I went out there lots of times to meet an airplane, but I never. When I first went to Barrow in 1950, I left from Ladd Field. I don't know why we took off from there.
Well, the first time I went to Barrow in 48, we took off from Ladd Field. But generally, we landed
at Weeks.
At Weeks Field and take off for Barrow from Weeks Field.
Well, to get back, figure out in my mind how you got started gardening, and you say you just by trial and error. I guess if I could do that. Well, I have done that. I found out that I can grow petunias.
Anybody
can. I put petunias in my window boxes, and I give them some fish fertilizer every once in a while, and they do beautifully. I get lots of nice blossoms.
Fish fertilizer's a good fertilizer for flowers.
Yeah.
No, as I say, I started growing a few plants, and then I just kept adding more. And when I'd see something advertised in a seed catalog that looked good to me, why, I'd order the seed and try it.
Well, did you have your own greenhouse and start from seed most of the time?
Lots of it I did. I had a small greenhouse, very small one, 8 by 12, but quite a few of my plants I started in the house early and then transfer them. But I didn't have any heat in the greenhouse, but I could get started earlier out there with plants.
Yeah, but you'd start them in the house the way a lot of my friends do. They have little peat pots and...
Yes, I'd start... Why, maybe as early as February with some plants in the house.
Then you could transplant them right out to the garden eventually.
Well, yes. As soon as the weather warmed up, I'd take them out in the greenhouse and wait till, keep them there about the first day of June, and then start planting them in the garden.
When did you, I know that you've won lots of ribbons at the annual flower show here in July. When did you first enter a flower show? Or do you, you know, maybe you don't remember the year, but what prompted you to get into the flower show?
Well, I had no idea of ever entering the flower show, but the ladies of the garden clubs, seeing my delphiniums and passing by, come over and talk me into entering. I had no idea of ever entering a flower show when I started growing flowers, but then once I got in there and got into competition, why, I found that I liked it. And I was always trying to grow a flower better than somebody else grew it.
Yeah.
I never bothered me to lose for somebody to beat me in a flower show. I always benefited, I thought, from it, because I'd always compare the plant, the flower that I lost with, and compare it with the winner, try to find out where I'd made a mistake.
Do better the next year.
And try to beat it the next year.
Mm. Do you remember the first flower show you entered?
Yes. That was about, must have been about 60 or 61. I'm not sure of the year anymore. And then the last one was 69.
Did you win any ribbons that first year?
Yes, I did. To my surprise, I think maybe I won a first prize and maybe a couple of second prizes. The best I ever did, though, was one year I had 13 different exhibits. And I won that year 12.
12 blue ribbons?
No, not. I think I had 7 blue ribbons, and I don't know just how many second and thirds, but then I also had the award of merit for the best, for the best specimen, and that was on a delphinium.
Did you normally, on your major prizes in the flower shows, were they on delphinium?
That was always my specialty, the delphinium. Mm-hmm. I think everybody that grows flowers has one special. Mm-hmm. Delphinium was my specialty, and I'm trying to continue that here.
Now, the delphinium that I see out here in front of the Pioneer Home in the circle,
yes.
did you plant those?
I furnished the plants and supervised the planting of them about 6 years ago, the first ones that were planted there.
Well, that was before you lived here.
Yes, long before I lived here. And then this past year, I added some more that I started from seed right here at the Pioneer Home last year. And they bloomed this year.
Yeah, they're beautiful.
And I've got a number of them around the house here. Ones that I started from seed last year.
I noticed now that the new addition is built, there's some nice flower floral circles, you know, in the patios out here. That's really lovely looking out.
Well, I planted in there in those circles what I thought would be the easiest to take care of, something that thrive in poor soil and require the least attention of any flower that I know of, and that was Shirley poppies and nasturtiums.
Is that right?
Yes. Yeah.
They're really blossoming.
Yes, they're doing good.
Coming right by the entrance to the Pioneer Home here are these old dredge buckets. And those, last year I noticed them there, but this year they have petunias in there, and they're beautiful. The flowers must be 4 inches across, some of them. They're huge, big blossoms.
Yes.
Did you plant those?
I planted those, and I've had a lot of tourists stop and look at them, and they ask me where I got petunias that size. They don't realize that they grow much larger here than they do in the South 48, as I like to say, the hoodlum states.
Yeah. Well, what do you use a special fertilizer on them?
No, I don't. Nothing special, just I forget the chemical formula of it.
Is it a granulated?
Yes, but like any other flower, if blooming plants, you want to use a fertilizer with low nitrogen content.
Mm-hmm. Well, is fish fertilizer, the liquid fish fertilizer, is that good for petunias?
That's very good for petunias and begonias.
Mm-hmm.
I've used it on my roses too.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any begonias here at the home that you, Pioneer Home, which you're...
Begonias?
Yeah.
We have a number of varieties of them.
I didn't notice any out
Oh yes, front. Right on the front, right alongside of the doorway, there's the entry, the entryway
in
there.
In the window boxes?
No, sitting right on the porch.
Oh.
Sitting on the concrete porch.
Oh, well, I'll look when I go out. I was looking at the window boxes and I missed them.
And then we have... I have hanging basket begonias down at the nursing wing, and we have a number of different varieties of begonias inside the building.
I noticed.
Angel wing begonias and Rex begonias, others that I don't know the name of.
Yeah. Well, do you buy these plants that you put out here, you buy them out of your own pocket? I know you've spent a lot of money
The state has not spent $20 on beautification since I've been here. They have bought a little fertilizer, but...
No flowers?
No plants, no flowers. I spent this year more than $100, my own money, to beautify the front entrance and the entrance of the nursing wing.
And last year you spent a lot of money on
this
too.
I spent a lot of money. Those flower boxes out there, I paid for those.
Mm-hmm.
And paid for all the plants that went in.
Do you get any help watering and maintaining them, or do you?
Very little. That's been my battle here for several years, even before I ever lived here, back as far as 67. We've never had a maintenance department here that cared anything for beautification.
Yeah.
I have to buck them continuously.
Well, are you able to help, to work on the flowers?
No, I'm not.
You're not, I didn't.
I'm not able. If I was, as I've tried to tell a lot of people come out here, say, oh, how are you getting along with your gardening? And lots of them are women of the garden clubs come out here and call me the gardener out here. Well, I'm not the gardener. I'm living here because I'm not able. If I was able to be the gardener, I'd own the garden myself.
Yeah.
But...
Well, they're just not thinking, they just don't realize that you're not physically able, probably.
When they say they're not thinking, I say, well, what? Thinking with what?
Well, do the garden clubs donate any flowers, or do they do any?
Marge Haglund is the only one that has, since I've been here.
Mm-hmm.
And before I lived here, back when I owned my own garden, I donated.
Yeah.
Many dozens.
Well, you just said a little while ago that you donated the original delphiniums out there.
I donated a lot of delphiniums here, but those out there are the only ones left of what I started here.
Is that right?
6 years ago.
Yeah. Well,
and I used to come out here at night to take care of those.
Is that right?
To fertilize them, to prune them and thin them, cultivate them, mm-hmm. spray them for worms and aphids and all mm-hmm. that. No, this should be the most beautiful spot in Alaska, and as I told Governor Egan one time himself, we were talking about it, I told him it would be the most, should be the most beautiful place in Alaska if they had somebody interested and hire a gardener here mm-hmm. to do it. And I told him the expense, that's before I lived here, the expense would be so little that it would never be missed. I told him that the old people living in the home would smoke enough cigarettes in a year to pay the entire cost of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He understands it. He sees it. We have a manager here now, Miss Muckenthaler, that is actually interested.
Mm-hmm.
But up until she came here, they had nobody here that was interested in beautifying the
place. Well, you know, I can see where they could, the state could possibly have someone who could be a gardener here and maybe a gardener over at the state jail. The state jail has, it's close, it has lawn, but has no flowers. I think that, you know, it just might be nice for those people who have to be in jail to look out and see a flower.
Well,
it wouldn't cost that much.
In 67, I was hired here, and I wanted the job, but I wasn't physically able for the job, and I tried to talk myself out of the job, but I was hired for that purpose here.
Mm-hmm.
But after I got here, I found out that I had to be inside all the time doing somebody else's work while they took an 8-hour coffee break. And
I see.
Complained they weren't getting enough work out of me, why,
yeah.
I gave them a letter of resignation. They explained in plain English why they got the letter.
And you were hired to do
yes.
gardening.
But, well, the flood actually interfered with us that
mm-hmm.
year.
Yeah.
But I should, after the flood, and we had everything back in operating condition here, I should have been out there
cleaning up
and getting things outdoors in shape.
Mm-hmm.
But too often I had to work inside instead of doing what I should have done.
That's too bad. You were showing me some pictures in this album, some of your flower pictures. Here's one of you. You were terribly thin then. Is that the year that you won the... This was 1966.
I did win a...
Award of Merit.
Award of Merit on the Delphinium.
Delphinium, yeah.
And I was a very, very sick man.
Terribly thin.
And I weighed 198 pounds. Now, that time I weighed 145 pounds.
Holy smoke. That's 53 pounds less.
I was a very sick man.
Yeah.
I still could win the Award of Merit and have some flowers in the show.
If you don't mind, I'm just going to flip over to some of these pictures and let you... Is this where what your yard looked like before you cleaned it up and landscaped it? That's pile of junk.
That's a pile of junk that I picked up off of the...
The two lots?
Off of what became a garden.
Holy smoke.
Before I fenced, that was before I had it fenced in.
Holy smoke. Oh, here's some beautiful. Yeah.
Those turnips, that is a 3-foot ruler you see on there, and there's 4 turnips on on the 36 inches.
So they're.
The largest one there is 8 pounds and 6 ounces. This one over here is 7 pounds and 4 ounces. The little ones only weighed 6 pounds each.
The little ones. This delphinium here is taller than you.
Yes.
And you're a tall man.
I'm 6 feet.
Here's a picture of you. That must have been in 66.
Yes, that one was also in 66.
Yeah, you look real thin there. Well, what are these yellow flowers, border flowers?
That's a dwarf marigold.
Yeah. I noticed some of those do very well here in Fairbanks.
Oh, it's wonderful.
There's someone down the road here, just down on Egan Street, I think it is. Or, no, not Egan Street, but on the way down the first street.
We have quite a few of them around here.
There's some nice...
All right, those out front there, right front door, mm-hmm. dwarf marigold.
These are beautiful pictures.
Well, that a picture of my lawn, but it shows the house across the street.
Yeah. Now, would that be Lathrop Street?
Then? Yes, that would be Lathrop Street. Yeah. But the people that owned that house, I gave them a negative of that picture, and they had a lot of pictures printed they sent out. Then they got ready that winter, they wanted to sell their house, and they were using that picture to show the people what kind of a neighborhood they would be buying in. Mm. But it was all snow at the time.
Right. Are these some of your neighbors?
No, that's a young couple that live here, and friends of mine.
Oh, I see. And these are roses, right?
Those are the John F. Kennedy roses. I grew the first of them, I guess, that was ever grown in Fairbanks.
Did you start them from a shoot, or...?
No, I ordered the plants from...
I see.
Jackson and Perkins, I believe.
And, were they just small plants when you got them, and then you...
2-year-old plants.
Are these the ones you told me that the university borrowed?
Yes, those... That was in 68. Somebody in the university saw them, and they borrowed the 2 roses, which were beauties. They were in their prime, and just one solid mass of
blossoms.
Snow-white blossoms. Yeah. And they borrowed them and took them to the university for their graduation exercise.
Oh, I bet that was beautiful. Now here's another view of your yard looking across at another house.
Uh-huh. That's dwarf marigolds in that
Whose home bed. Is this?
Oh, Garrison lives there now. I'm the name of Garrison.
Mm-hmm. These are poppies, right?
Yes, those are Shirley poppies you see there. That's Noel Ween's house, where Noel Ween lived right there.
Oh, yeah.
And this is Sig's house here. My garden was directly in front of their house.
Do they still live there?
Oh, no, they live in Washington.
Well, when they come up in the summer, where do they stay?
They
don't own the house anymore.
No, they sold that
a
few years ago.
Does Sig still live there?
Yes, Sig still lives there. And Noel and Ada were here recently. And
now, these are older pictures of Fairbanks.
Those pictures I took around 1947, 48.
I see. This is before you got into gardening.
Yes, before I started gardening.
That's not your garden, is it?
No, this is a lettuce field, right where the field ahead lettuce, right where Traveler's End is today.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, these houses are still there, aren't they?
Some of them are.
That must be 10th over there, and these are the ones that are on Noble, or were on. That must have been Noble Street there.
Well,
that looks like those.
These would be over, I guess, on 10th.
Isn't that where Jim and Marie Sellers were? They operated.
That was, it used to be the Birch Tree Gardens.
Yeah. I remember because we lived at Dixon Apartments just before our boy was born. When he was born. And it was still a garden there. Traveler's Inn hadn't gotten started yet. It was a big cabbage patch, as I remember.
Yes, I've seen fields of cabbage there.
Well, you have lots of ribbons. Do you remember what you won each ribbon for?
Well, it would be on the tags. I still got the
Have you?
Tags along with the ribbons.
Can you read? That's the Award of Merit, is that?
The Award of Merit, every one of them I got on Delphinium.
Does it give the year on those?
They had one in the beginning. They didn't have the Delphinium in a separate class.
Mm-hmm.
This Award of Merit there was for the... I won that on a Delphinium specimen. but it was the best specimen, horticultural specimen in the entire flower show.
Oh, I see.
But later,
what year was that? Does it give the year on there?
No, the date isn't on there. I don't remember just what year. But then they put the delphinium in a special
in a separate class.
Mm-hmm. Separate class, and then they got you win the award of merit in the delphinium mm-hmm. class. Well, I have three of them that was won. Three awards of merit that was won on the on delphinium. And I don't know what this one is. Here's a, this one for a, in 1967 is for a purple delphinium, first prize. And here's another one, same year, on a lavender delphinium, mm-hmm. first prize. And sorry, they're not all dated.
A pile of ribbons there.
Here's a second prize. That's a delphinium. And another, here's a marigold, a bicolor.
Second prize.
Second prize. And another second prize on marigolds. This is another first prize on Pacific hybrid delphinium. It don't say what color it was. I don't remember.
Let me hold those for you.
And here's a third prize, a begonia. I tried
white begonias.
Okay. I tried several years to win that a first prize in begonia, but the best I ever got was a second. There's another first prize on delphinium. There's a first prize in 1967 on a spider plant. And another delphinium first prize. Don't say the, don't give the date on it
yeah.
either. And here's the first prize on sweet peas.
Oh my goodness. And who was your nearest competitor in delphiniums when you were entering the shows?
I would say Joanne Rockne was. But when I finally was beaten and lost the award of merit, why, it was a, you mentioned her name. He used to be the maintenance man at university.
Oh, you mean it's at the university?
Oh.
Oh, Ken Haycraft?
No, no,
he's
no.
Never, he was at the university, but not maintenance.
Well.
Magnuson.
Magnuson.
Yeah.
She
Betty
finally
Magnuson.
Won the.
Yeah.
In the last flower show I was in 69, uh-huh. she won the award of merit.
I see.
Now, here's another first prize on marigolds. And here's another first on sweet peas.
You got a lot of first prizes here.
First on coleus. And pink delphinium in 1967.
Pink delphinium. First prize on that too.
Well, there's a lot of red ones here. They're not all blue. Here's a second prize on a delphinium. I didn't always get first. Delphinium collection, a second prize. Third prize on Dianthus in 67.
What's a Dianthus? Is that
well,
a small plant?
Well, pinks or look, something like a carnation.
Oh, I see, yeah.
Here's another second on a delphinium collection. And another second on dianthus. Second on adelphinium.
Delphinium was your specialty, all right.
Another first on delphinium.
Be nice if these were all dated, see.
Another first on delphinium, a bicolor.
Now, delphinium is a perennial.
Yes. Some of my plants were, that I was still, here's the first on marigolds. Some of my plants that are still winning blue ribbons were
transplanted.
Oh, probably 10 years old.
Is that right?
Pansy, first prize.
Well, when you sold your house and they dug up the yard to put in a basement for a duplex or a fourplex or whatever, did you save any of those delphinium plants?
Well, a lot of the delphinium went to Dalney's, Ann's greenhouses.
Oh.
Then, oh, there's a number of ladies came over and dug delphiniums. Here's another. Oh, well, that one's on bachelor button, the first prize.
Mm-hmm.
And here's another first on delphinium. As I say, my delphinium has always been my specialty.
Now, some of those that you planted here at the Pioneer Home, were they from your delphinium plants at your home?
Well,
or were they?
Some of them that I all of these here that the home are ones that I started from seed. The ones that I planted last year, I started from seed. They were blooming this year.
Yeah. Well, do you start them inside?
Well, you can start them inside or you can plant them outdoors, either way. But I generally start mine indoors.
But the first year you can't expect anything.
No, I don't want them to bloom. Can you make that out? That's a third prize.
Looks like L-Y-T-H-E-U-M.
Lithium? I don't remember that one at all.
Lithium?
No, the first on dwarf marigolds. Another first on a delphinium collection. Another first on bachelor buttons. Another first on Pacific hybrid delphinium. Don't say what color it was or the year. And here's a third prize on pansies. Third prize on a pink delphinium. Here's a third prize on a peanut plant.
Peanut
well, here's plant. One, and that's the only one I have of this kind.
Honorable mention. What's that, kind of a consolation prize?
Yes, that's about all. Oh, that was a single petunia.
Oh.
Well, I guess that's about all of them.
Well, that's plenty. Well, in the flower shows, there are not too many men who entered. Did you have any resentment from some of the women gardeners?
No, I don't think so.
Walked off with first prizes?
I don't think so. They all seemed to be good losers when they didn't beat me.
Yeah.
Now, I'd say Joanne Rockney was my closest competitor, generally. In fact, we tied one year, both had the same number of blue ribbons.
Uh-huh.
And to decide who got the sweepstake prize for the most blue ribbons,
mm-hmm.
They had to make a new rule there, and us being tied. And they went back and counted their second prizes, and she had won second prize more than I did.
So she got it.
Yes. And then the next one was giving me the most competition when I quit the flower show in 69 was Mrs. Richard Hall.
Mm-hmm. Is that Esther Hall's daughter-in-law?
I don't know.
Richard Hall.
Mrs. Richard Hall.
Yeah.
And I imagine she's, well, I'm sure I saw some of her plants at the fair last mm-hmm. year.
Well, the last flower show you entered here then was in 1969.
69.
Yeah. And after 69, have you, you didn't do any more, you sold your house then, and you haven't really actively gardened on your own property.
No, I haven't done any gardening since 69, excepting what I've done, just puttering around here
out
by
here
your
home. Out here your home, yeah. Well, I see evidences of your dirty thumb all over the place.
Well...
Well, did you have any reluctance to enter the flower show, being a man, since most of the
yes, at
are,
first I did.
Women.
At first I did. But then there was maybe a couple of times that some man would have something in the flower show, but it was mostly, I was generally the only one.
Mm-hmm. I remember a couple of years that when I entered something or my children entered something, there was, I remember one year they won, I think for stock or, oh, I'm not sure, gladiolas perhaps, but the Fort Wainwright sewer maintenance people. The men who ran the sewer treatment plant at Fort Wainwright would have some beautiful flowers, and they'd always enter the flower show. Or for two or three years they did, I know. This was, well, like in the early 60s. And we used to get quite a kick out of that. Some of the women who ran the flower show got quite a kick out of that, too.
Well, I remember back 45, 50 years ago, your flower arrangers were all men.
Is that right?
Yes, and I worked over 50 years ago. I worked in Souster's greenhouse at Elgin, Illinois,
mm-hmm.
and the flower arranger there was a man. And the women that worked in the flower store, they only clerked. They never didn't do any arranging.
I see.
But I noticed then for many years it was women, all the flower arrangers. But I notice now there's a lot of men entering flower shows.
Mm-hmm.
In the range, most of them seem to be entering in the arrangements instead of horticulture.
Yeah.
And they tell me it's coming back to where a lot of the flower forests in the big cities are using men now
is
for flower
right?
arranging.
Yeah.
No, you asked me how long I'd been interested in the like of that. Well, I say I worked in Souster's greenhouse over 50 years ago.
Is that right?
And I had my picture in the Chicago Tribune in 1921, and they mistakenly called me a florist in that picture with that little write-up.
Yeah. What was the write-up about?
Well, it was what they called the inquiring reporter.
Mm-hmm.
He stopped so many people on the streets each day
I
and
see.
Ask a question and
mm-hmm.
And they publish your picture and your answer. And I always say they mistakenly called me a florist. That's
yeah.
53 years ago.
Yeah. What do you remember what he interviewed you about, or what was the question?
Wanted to know what I was, how I was going to spend the 4th of July that
oh,
year.
I see.
I was on sitting on Oak Street Beach in front of the Drake Hotel in
yeah.
Chicago talking to a girl there
uh-huh.
that we'd walked out to the beach together, and we were sitting out there when he came by and stopped and asked the question how we were going to spend the 4th of July. And then, of course, he asked for the occupation. And I'd been working in that greenhouse, so he
called you a florist.
Called me a florist.
Yeah. What'd you do there? Just, you didn't do any arranging?
No, no, I was just a young kid then, or just a, might say, a farm laborer.
Just a general handyman.
That's it, yes.
Did you ever farm, really? Or as a
I was born on a farm, but I left it when I was 16 years old.
Mm-hmm. Where were you born?
Aiken, Illinois.
Aiken, Illinois. Is the town named after you, or are you named after the town?
Well, I wouldn't say there's any town there anymore. I think they maybe have a post office. Some way they get their mail there. But it used to be one of those country towns where, oh, I remember when there was two banks there and five or six general stores. Mm-hmm. Of course, that was before the days of the automobile.
That was a farm community?
Yes.
Just a little trading center for...
Yes. It was named, town was named after my grandfather back in the very early days of Illinois.
And did he come to the United States from Europe, or was he born in...
Well, I tell people they were probably run out of Ireland in the religious war a couple hundred years ago.
But they lived in the United States. He and his family had been in the...
Oh, from back about early 1800s.
I see. A lot of Alaskans, the reason I asked that question is a lot of Alaskans are second generation or first generation Americans.
Yes.
Like Ina Utila, you know, she came from Finland.
Yes.
And has lived in Alaska since, well, 61 years now. She came in 1913 and, you know, from Finland and lived in...
Yes.
Well, there are many like Ina who...
I think my
first
people...
First or second.
First came from Ireland about 1818.
Mm-hmm. Did they settle in Illinois or did they kind of drift westward?
First stopped in Indiana from an old history I found a few years ago and then... Came from Indiana to Illinois.
Mm-hmm. Well, tell me how you got to Alaska, Florida.
Well, I was 1947. I was in Boulder City, working and living in Boulder City, Nevada. And I heard of Birch, Johnson, Lytle were hiring men for Alaska, and I wrote to them in Seattle. Mm-hmm. And they sent me an application, and I filled it out and mailed it in. A few days later, I was on the way to Seattle.
Oh.
And from Seattle, they shipped me to Fairbanks.
That was a construction company.
That, yes, Birch Johnson Lytle Construction, and they were just starting to build Eielson Air Force Base, which at that time was known as Mile 26. It wasn't named. And that's the year they built that landing strip at Eielson.
Mm-hmm. Was there anything there when you arrived?
A few old...
Quonset huts?
Yes, and a few Quonset huts, and there was a few old tar paper covered warehouses.
Well, had they established that as a field? Had they used it as a field already?
It had been used in that land lease. They were ferrying planes
to Russia.
There was a little short runway there and one hangar there.
I see.
And that hangar was the only permanent building on the base when I went there. Mm-hmm. And we used one of those old warehouses for bunk houses.
Is that
barracks?
Or did they have a mess hall, separate mess hall? Or?
We had... We had first old Quonset huts and old tar paper shacks as mess halls until they got started building mess halls for us.
That's nothing like the construction workers on the pipeline job.
Oh, now. I'll say not.
Yeah. Have you been out to any of the pipeline camps?
No,
to
I
see
haven't.
The facilities?
No, I haven't been up on the North Coast since 59.
Well, you came up in construction, what trade did you
follow? I was doing carpenter work.
Mm-hmm. Had you lived in the western United States?
Yes, I went from Illinois in 1934 up until that depression struck back there. I was a railroad brakeman. Mm-hmm. And I lost my job in the depression on the railroad. 1934, I went to Montana. And I lived in western Montana for about 8 years. And then I went to Utah first, working on construction work mm-hmm. there, and then I heard of them building that magnesium plant at Las Vegas, Nevada, and I went over there, and I arrived in Las Vegas the day Pearl Harbor was bombed.
Is that right?
Yeah. And I worked there for about a year on that magnesium plant, and then I was drafted in the Army.
You were drafted?
Yes, I was drafted in the Army. But I was only in about a little over 4 months, and I discharged as overage.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I lived in Nevada about 6 years before I came to Alaska.
But you were living in Boulder when you wrote?
Yes.
For this job with...
Yes, I was working.
Birch, Johnson, and Lytle was the name of it?
Yes, we called it the... We're called BJL.
BJL. Now, is that the same Lytle that combined with the Green Construction?
Same Lytle.
Yeah. Now, were they a Western construction company, or were they from Iowa also?
Iowa. Because
I know
Birch was Montana. I worked for Birch in Montana.
I see.
And then Johnson was Seattle. Lytle were from Iowa, I think. And...
Because the Green Construction is originally from Iowa, and
yes.
I know Lytle and Green formed a Lytle Green.
I've worked for Lytle Green, Birch Johnson and Lytle. I've worked for Lytle Green and Birch, and I've worked for a lot of different combinations of names,
depending on the project, probably.
Yes. Joint venture contracts.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Form a company for one job, and then that was dissolved and be another combination.
Another partnership. And, yeah.
Another partnership for another job. I've worked for them under a lot of different names.
Yeah. Well, going back to Eielson, when you arrived there, there were a few Quonset huts and some tar paper shacks. Then your job then was helping build permanent structures or
camp
structures?
Actually, what we built there was mostly built as temporary. We built a lot of 53-man barracks,
mm-hmm.
wooden barracks buildings. They've all been sold as surplus since and wrecked and hauled away. There's very few buildings out there now that were built when I was there. I went back, I was waiting there 5 years and went back out there and I was lost.
Well, I think most of them have been replaced by cement, reinforced concrete, or block buildings.
Yes,
haven't they?
Most all of them have. I haven't been to Eielson now for several years.
I haven't been out there for about over a year myself. So, but that, did you remain there with, well, you didn't remain until they completed Eielson, because I think
no.
You told me you went to Barrow in 1948 or so.
I went there in March. And in December, construction slowed down. They surplused hundreds of us.
Uh-huh.
And they shipped me right back to Boulder City, Nevada, and paid my fare and my wages and everything back home. And then the following spring, I bought a ticket and came back on my own. And I worked around Fairbanks that summer. And in August of 48, I went to Point Barrow and to Barter Island. And as you know, I was up there on the oil reserve and you lived up there.
Excuse me for the interruption. Then you went up to Barrow then in 48. At that time, did you work right in barrel camp, or did you go out to...
The first 18 months I was up there, I worked right there in the barrel camp.
As a carpenter?
Yes.
Yeah.
And then the balance of the time, say another 18 months, I was all over the North Slope from one building camps or tearing down camps to getting them ready to move.
Mm-hmm.
At wherever they happen to be drilling a prospect hole.
Yeah, I see.
East of Malik, Topogra, Fish Creek. I don't know how many locations.
Umiad?
Huh?
Were you at Umiad?
Oh, I was at Umiad a number of times.
Yeah. And when you traveled between these spots, you went by bush plane.
Yes, we did. And it's like, stated to a reporter recently that there wasn't many landing strips up there then, but she got the idea we used dog sleds, snowshoes. Well,
you mean to go between spots?
That's what she imagined and put it in the paper that way. But there wasn't dog sleds or snowshoes were not mentioned because, as you say, we traveled by bush plane.
Well, drill sites were a long distance away. So they were quite
150
away.
Miles sometimes out of barrel. And lots of times, there's times, depending on the season of the year, in the summertime, we'd land on a lake
on pontoons. Mm-hmm.
And in the wintertime, we'd land on a lake with skis, or frozen lake on the ice with skis, on a snow runway.
On skis?
On skis,
yeah.
Or with wheels, even wheels. I've seen some big landing strips on ice up there.
Well, I've landed on...
Where four-engine planes would land on the ice out on some frozen lake.
They're using, now in the wintertime, the Hercs will land on... the big Hercules airplanes they're flying. But of course they have to wait till that ice gets pretty thick.
I know they would.
But I've landed on, I think I landed at Topogra one time in a C-46 on an ice strip. And it just, the lake was a long lake, and the runway, you could have a 2 or 3 mile runway.
Oh, I remember that runway.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I left, I went out there and landed on that.
Mm-hmm.
And they were landing big planes on that lake, and it was all lighted like a runway for a large city.
Yeah.
But then when I left there 3 months or so later, all the ice there was just an island of ice out in the middle of that lake, and they were landing Norseman planes on that ice on skis.
I see.
And we had to, I have pictures somewhere of how we went across out there on the Weasel.
Is that right?
To get on the plane.
Yeah.
Had to cross the water to get out.
The Weasel was amphibious.
Yes, that was amphibious, one of the best vehicles ever invented for Arctic travel.
They still are using them up there.
They were good.
Yeah. Well, when you went to Barrow, the company you worked for was Arctic Contractors.
Arctic Contractors.
And that was a combination of Lytle and Green.
I believe it was.
And I'm not sure who else.
Well, the United Geophysical.